Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black. I am back bringing the Good News Show to you. Thank you, all of you loyal listeners, for giving us support, sending in emails, and just staying in touch with what we're doing here in South Florida. Today is September 21st, 2009, and we are going to have a very special guest on the show. The show is going to be a contribution to what Larry Gelwick has done. He's a volunteer of Highland Rugby coaching team. For 34 years, he's also the CEO of Columbus Travel in Salt Lake City. Listen to his story about turning out champions for life. And there's also a movie that has been made about Larry Gelwick's life. The movie is Forever Strong, and it's won awards. We'll learn more about that. It's also a movie about loyal addiction, so we'll have Larry on in just a couple of minutes. Before we do that, I'd like to bring in my co-host, Sherry. Sherry, are you with us this morning?
I'm here. Good morning, Patty, and good morning, everybody. Thank you all for sending in your five-star ratings that we have been getting since we started the show over a year and a half ago. We're really honored to be doing the show for you, and we're very privileged today, especially to have Larry with us, because Patty and I had watched the movie Forever Strong, and we were really impressed with the movie, and then we found out that one of our friends actually knows him and that the movie was made about him. So we're really, really excited to have Larry on with us this morning. And Larry has tools for life. It doesn't just apply to rugby. These are tools for living. And so I'm really looking forward to talking with him and getting a little more information from him. So as soon as we have Larry on, we'll bring him on.
Thank you, Sherry. We do have a couple of callers here. Let me see if I can get Larry on with us. Good morning. Welcome to the Good News Show.
Hi, this is Larry Gelwicks.
Good morning. What a pleasure, Larry. Thanks for calling in.
Well, it's my pleasure. And how's things down in South Florida?
Pardon me?
I said, how is everything in Florida?
It's beautiful. It's sunny and beautiful, and the rains have gone for today anyway.
So, Larry, we're very, very happy that you were able to be on the show this morning. What I'd like to do is just start off with having you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, professionally, I'm in the travel business. I've been in the CEO of an airline. I've been in the travel industry all my life, other than 4 years of teaching high school. But I've been a volunteer sports coach. I've been a high school football coach, a high school wrestling coach, and for the last 34 years, I've coached the Highland Rugby team, a high school team here in Salt Lake City. And the team has achieved great success.
Now, how does your approach to coaching your rugby team compared to the traditional methods used to coaching rugby?
Well, you know, I don't know that it's just unique to rugby. We have a very unique and different coaching style. We have about 120 young men in our high school program. We have 13 coaches and five different teams from varsity, JV, and on down. You know, there's really only two leadership or management styles, and I'll be brief on this. The first is the most common, and it's also the most destructive. It's what I call vertical leadership. It's where the boss or the coach is on top. Everybody else is at the bottom, unless you're that little circle of pets who can do no wrong and get away with murder. But, you know, if you win, it's great coaching. If you lose, it's a bunch of lousy players. In a business, if you're profitable and successful, it's great leadership and management on the part of the CEO and the boss. But if the company's struggling, it's a bunch of undedicated employees. It's ego-driven. It's management by threats, intimidation, and fear. Have you ladies seen a sports game where a coach has just ripped some kid apart right in front of the team, in front of the fans?
I'm sorry, Larry?
I said, I said, you may have seen a situation where a coach will just rip some player apart in front of his teammates, in front of the stands. And
exactly. Mm-hmm.
And a coach is saying, well, I'm just trying to motivate him. Well, I don't believe there's anything in the world, there's no such thing as negative motivation. You can't do good things using evil, bad ways. Now, what you can do in a business, on a sports team, in a family, in an organization, is you can terrorize people. You can manage by threats and intimidation. You know, do you know how lucky you are to have this job in this down economy? Now, you either get that done or I'm going to fire you. You know, you can threaten people, and you'll get a short-term behavior change, but you never capture their heart. You never capture their soul. We hear wonderful stories about men and women in the armed service who throw themselves on a grenade for their comrades. The signers of the Declaration of Independence signed a death warrant for what they believed. And you look at the stories of immigration into this country from north and south and across the oceans, people who gave up everything for something they believed in. And you contrast that with this vertical leadership with what I call horizontal leadership, where I tell the boys the first day of practice, the coach, the players are the same. We're the same in terms of human dignity and respect. In other words, our coaching staff, how novel is this? There's no swearing. There's no screaming at players. Don't mistake us. We can be pretty intense. But as far as human dignity, no one is ever humiliated in front of their teammates. We praise in public. We correct in private. And now there is a difference. I tell the boys, the difference is our job. My job as head coach is different than yours. I can't win without you. You can't win without me. And so we focus on cooperation rather than competition. And when somebody believes in a cause bigger than themselves, they will throw themselves on a grenade. They will sign a Declaration of Independence. And they will leave everything to start a new life. We focus on horizontal leadership, not vertical.
Mm-hmm. Larry, one of the things that I'd like you to tell our listeners is about your philosophy and your life lessons, which have really made a difference for me. And like, you know, don't lie, it's honesty and honor being honorable. And who do you want to be? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, sure. You know, the boys call them Gelwicksisms, and I actually sit the boys down at least once a week for about 10 or 15 minutes at the end of practice. And I've learned something about young men. The best time to talk to them is right after a hard practice, when they're physically tired, not emotionally drained or mentally tired, but physically tired. They just seem to listen. Young people do. And I talk to them about everything except rugby. We don't talk about sports. And as I said, the kids call them Gelwicksisms. We'll talk about life, families, relationships, drugs and alcohol, moral decisions. We'll talk about always doing your best and honesty. One of the things that we have one rule on the team. You don't do anything that would embarrass you, your family, or this team. That's the only rule we have, and that's a wide net. We talk about honesty and integrity. You know, if you lose your honesty, if you lose your integrity, while you're the poorest person I know, you have nothing. That's just a line we don't cross. We talk about always being your best and doing your best. You know, the most frequent question these young people are asked is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a radio host, whatever it is you want to be. And I tell them, you know, that's a very important question. What do you want to be? But it is not the most important question. The single most important question that these young people will be asked is not what do you want to be, but who do you want to be? And the who is the choices. You know, the who is determined by, as I tell them, what do you do when no one will know? You're sitting in class, you're not as prepared on a test as maybe you should be, and there's a temptation to cheat on your test, and no one will know. You walk out of 7-Eleven after getting your Slurpee, and they've given you too much change back, and you think, oh, my lucky day. No one will know if you pocket it or take it back. You're in a jam, and if you tell a lie, you're going to get out of this jam, out of this problem, and nobody will know. You're in a parking lot, and you dent somebody's fender, and there's nobody around, and no one will know if you just drive away. Well, that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you really are. It's who you are is so much more important than what you are.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I've learned that lesson myself. It's, you know, show me who you really are. And that was a really important lesson for me. You know, also I like when you say about who are your friends, and because you'll do what your friends do.
Oh,
I mean, that's a really important message.
I tell them the single most important decision that they will make in high school has nothing to do with school, has nothing to do with family, has nothing to do with any church or faith if they attend a particular church, has nothing to do with it. The single most important decision they'll make in school, and I suppose for all of us in life, but I'm speaking to high school students, has nothing to do with school, religion, family. The single most important decision is who you pal around with, who your friends are, because at the end of the day, you will do what your friends do. And I tell parents, if you want to know what your son or daughter is doing, find out what their friends are doing, because that's what they'll do sooner or later.
Yeah, that's great, Larry. I really like that. You know, learn from your mistakes. You know, it's not what's done to you, but it's how you handle yourself that matters.
True. In fact, we don't jump the kids for making mistakes. Now, one of the things, one of the Gelwicksisms they hear at the start of every practice is practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. And so practice time, we're okay if you make a mistake. We're not yelling and screaming at you, but we will never end practice until we've done it perfectly. And you know, this is such an important lesson of life, is that, you know, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. I tell the boys, the last thing I tell the team before they go out on the field is it doesn't matter who scores. It only matters that we score. Everything that we do is teaching selflessness rather than selfishness, and it works. I've coached for 34 years. The varsity record of the Highland rugby team is 392 wins and just 9 losses in 34 years. 19 national high school championships in the 25 years that USA Rugby has sponsored a national tournament. And, you know, there are thousands of rugby teams across the United States. Interestingly enough, rugby is the second most popular sport in the world. Only soccer is bigger. Rugby, which American football is an outgrowth, rugby is bigger than basketball, baseball, football worldwide in terms of spectators and participants. And so it's an amazing record, and it's this type of team philosophy that really is responsible for 392 wins and just 9 losses. And I'll tell you something, is that these philosophies of success doesn't just happen by accident. Luck happens by accident, but success doesn't. These principles of success that are in the movie Forever Strong, they will work in a business, They'll work at a radio station. They'll work at a car dealership. They'll work in a family. They'll work in a church or synagogue, a neighborhood, a school. They'll even work on a high school sports team. These are principles of success that do not fail and cannot fail.
That's why we wanted to talk with you, is because for those that are listening that have nothing to do with rugby, this is a way of living your life, and this is something that, you know, it's tools for life for everybody. I wanted you to tell them, what did you mean about the don't play with snakes? What does that mean?
Let me tell a story real briefly. I had a young man is telling me this story. He walks out into his, it was a summer's day. He was in the summer between 9th and 10th grade. He walks out into his garage, and he sees a snake. He walks up to it. It's a rattlesnake. Now, he had handled snakes before, even venomous snakes, and he took a board without hurting the animal, just kind of pinned it down, reached down, and picked up this little baby rattlesnake, which just had two rattlers on it, by its neck. And he's holding this snake. And I got to tell you something kind of interesting. Now, if someone were telling you, Patty, that they were holding a rattlesnake by its neck, what would be the first thing that you would think of? What would come to mind? What would you tell that person?
Get it away from me.
Yes, like,
crazy.
You are crazy. You're holding a rattlesnake. I have to admit, that's not what came to my mind as this boy was telling me he was holding a rattlesnake by the neck. The very first thing that came to my mind was, do snakes have necks? That's what raced through my mind. Anyway, so so all the kids in the neighborhood are coming over. And he's doing that typical 14-year-old boy thing. He's going, ha, ha, ha. You know, he's shaking the snake at them. It's going to bite you. And, you know, the mouth is open. The fangs are showing. The venom is dripping out. And everybody is having a great time. Well, this is going on for about 10 minutes. And you know, this is not a happy snake at this point. And someone calls out his name, says, hey, Mike. And he turns his head, takes his focus off holding the snake, and just ever so slightly, the snake wiggles out of his grasp and comes down and bites him on the hand. Now he had health problems for years as a result, a consequence of this decision to play with a rattlesnake. And he's telling me this story, and I'm just incredulous. It's like I can't believe what I'm hearing. And I say to him, just a minute, Mike, just a minute. Let me see if I got this straight. You walk out into your garage. Yeah. You see a snake. Yeah. It's a rattlesnake. Well, yeah. And you picked it up? Well, yeah, I'd handled snakes before. I'd never had a problem before. Mike, it was a rattlesnake. You knew what it was, and you picked it up? Well, yeah. And then it bit you, didn't it? Yeah. And I said, well, Mike, what did you think was going to happen? It's a rattlesnake. That's what rattlesnakes do. They go around biting people. And I said, you know, you knew what it was when you picked it up. Why are you surprised you got bit? Now, the point I make with my players is that, you know, there is a right and wrong in life. There are things that are inherently wrong. You know, lying, that is just flat out wrong. Cheating, stealing, being disrespectful to people, discrimination, these things are inherently wrong. And here's what I believe, and this is what I teach my players, is that we know the difference between right and wrong. We know it in our heart. And we have a choice to make. And to me, things that are not right, like discrimination, like lying and cheating and stealing, disrespectful to parents, disrespectful to other people, you know, vandalism. All of these things are rattlesnakes. And when we have a temptation in front of us, when we have a moral and ethical situation where we have to make a decision, view it as a rattlesnake. I know what it is. Yeah, I've done it before and I haven't been burned. But sooner or later, you play with a rattlesnake, it is going to bite you. You lie, you cheat, you do drugs, you abuse alcohol, all any of these things. You're disrespectful to people. You discriminate against people. Sooner or later, it's going to bite you. And if we view all temptations, problems as a rattlesnake, we have to then make that decision. Am I going to pick up this rattlesnake?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's really great. That's really, really great. It's all about decisions and just making the right or wrong decision. I know,
if
I would have walked out into the garage and saw a rattlesnake, I would have walked back, ran back inside.
You and me both.
Let
me mention one thing. You talked about Forever Strong being a rugby movie. The movie was all cast out of Hollywood. And it's got Sean Ferris, who has done a number of movies, Never Back Down. They say he's the next Tom Cruise. You have Gary Cole, who took my character. He was in Brady Bunch and Pineapple Express, Office Space, Talladega Nights, Neil McDonough, Band of Brothers, Minority Report, Penn Badgley, who's the superstar of Gossip Girls now. One of my favorite people in the movie, and they're all wonderful, was Sean Astin. Now, you remember Sean Astin as Rudy? You remember him as Goonies?
Yeah.
And Sam, Frodo's friend, in Lord of the Rings. And a bunch of others. He's Patty Duke's son, too. Now, he said something in an interview that really resonated with me. He said that all good sports movies are not about the sport, but they're about a human drama with the sport only as a backdrop. You think of the movie Remember the Titans. That's not a football movie, is it? It's a movie about racial tension and discrimination, about overcoming traditional challenges, about all of these things. About change. Well, in the same, and so we don't consider Remember the Titans a football movie. It's a human drama about real people. In the very same way, the movie Forever Strong is not a rugby movie. You don't have to know anything about rugby. It's a movie about human drama, overcoming human tragedy. It's a movie about always doing your best, always being your best, about getting knocked down in life and getting back up and getting knocked down again and getting back up again. And the greatest compliment that I hear about this movie is people have said, I walk out of the theater. It had a national theatrical release last fall. It was in theaters across the country. It's now in DVD. But they said, I walked out of this movie wanting to be a better person, wanting to help people, wanting to just do my best in every situation. And that's the message of Forever Strong. I have called it the Les Mis effect. You walk out of the musical Les Miserables, and you just want to be a better person. And that is exactly the effect that people seem to have when they see the movie Forever Strong is, I want to be a better person. I want to be my best. I want to do my best. I don't want to let anybody knock me down. It's a great film.
How did you get involved in, how did they come to you, or how did that all get started?
Well, I'll give you the short Cliff Notes version. I was sitting at my office at Columbus Travel here in Salt Lake City, and the phone rang, and I picked it up, and it was a movie studio. Well, that just doesn't happen every day that a movie studio calls you. And they had just finished a film in New Zealand. They were down there for, I think, 5 or 6 months doing a movie. Well, so many movies are shot in New Zealand. Now, Lord of the Rings was all done in New Zealand. And they had fallen in love with the game of rugby, which, as I mentioned, is the second most popular sport in the world. And football was an outgrowth of rugby. And they decided, they wanted to do a rugby movie. Every sport seemed to have a movie tied to it. Remember the Titans, Friday Night Lights, Hoosiers, Takedown, Miracle. All of these things. There's all these movies that sports was the backdrop to it, but no one had ever done a movie centered around rugby, again, the second most popular sport in the world. So they decided to do it, but being an American movie studio, they wanted to do an American story. And they said, very flatteringly, they said, Larry, wherever we checked, your name and the Highland rugby team, as you know, which is the premier high school rugby team in America, came up. The win-loss record, 392 wins and just 9 losses, kind of got their attention, 19 national championships, and they're thinking, there's got to be a story here. And so they said, this is our idea, and we'd like to come to Salt Lake City on such and such a day and talk to you. Well, the appointed day showed up, and they started talking, and about 4 hours later, they left my office, and that's how the movie Forever Strong was born. But I'm going to let you in on an insider secret. The movie that you saw is not the movie that they had proposed. When they first proposed it, they brought a storyline. They had binders of research on me and the team. I mean, this is a job. They're investing millions of dollars in the production of this film. They're not going to just, you know, by happenstance, hope that it turns out well. They knew everything. And the original storyline, they brought a whole storyboard with them, was that it was going to kind of be a Remember the Titans approach with my character, Coach Gelwicks, as the central star or the central person, just like the black coach, Denzel Washington, who portrayed it in Remember the Titans, was the central figure. Well, you know, that's very flattering that Hollywood wants to make a movie about you and your life. And, you know, I let that sink in, and then I got back to him, and I said, guys, I'm really not comfortable with the storyline. And they were surprised. And I said, you know, I'm the only head coach this team has ever had. Now it's 34 years. Then it was about 32 years. The movie was made a couple of years ago. And I said, I'm the only head coach this team has ever had. I'm very comfortable in that role. I know my role. I know my responsibilities. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's the young men, the boys, the players that have to go out and bust it in practice. It's the players that have to go out and win games. It's the players that are winning national championships. Yes, I know my role as coach. But I said, this team is not about me. And life is not about me. And so I would love to see a movie made about the team, but the movie has got to, the central message has got to be revolve around the players, not about me. Because life isn't about me. And so they changed the whole thing at my insistence. That the movie now, they took true stories from 30-plus years, and they wove all those true stories into a single season. And so while all the stories are true, they didn't all happen in the same year, and that's okay. But it is the true story of the Highland rugby team over many years, as I said, it's not just a good movie, it's a great movie. You'll watch it, and you won't be the same person.
Mm-hmm. Well, that really is in line with your motto, Larry, be forever strong on the field so you can be forever strong off the field. And that motto is really, it's heartfelt, and it seems like you have a certain drive to go the extra mile, not only to turn out great rugby players, but to ultimately turn out good, responsible men. And
you know, that's very true. And I tell the boys, as I said, I've been a high school football coach, a high school wrestling coach, 34 years a high school rugby coach, all on a volunteer basis. None of our coaches have ever been paid a dime, including myself. But what I tell them on the totem pole of life, you know, football is important. Rugby is important. Sports are important. But on this totem pole of life, they're way down at the bottom. I mean, at the top of what I call the totem pole of life, the hierarchy of what's really important in life, up, you know, at the top is your education, your family, your integrity, your honesty, your good loyalty to friends, being your best, doing your best. These are the things, your character, your moral values. These are the things that are really, really important in life. Yeah, football's important. Rugby's important. But it pales in comparison of who you are as a person.
So, Larry, can you tell us and our listeners a little bit about how do they find this movie? And give your contact information, your website.
I'd be very happy to do that. As I said, it had a national theatrical release. Last March, it was the in-flight movie on United Airlines and US Air worldwide. Right now, it's out in DVD. And there's a number of places. I just checked this morning. You can get it on Amazon.com. Walmart has carried it. Best Buy. I think if you the movie website, and again, it's not my movie. I didn't produce it. But the movie website is foreverstrongmovie.com. Foreverstrongmovie.com. You can also go to YouTube and see clips of the movie and things like that. I would tell your listeners, if you get a copy of the DVD, Walmart, Best Buy, Amazon, a number of video stores carry it too across the country. After the movie, there's a section. There's a section called Special Features, and it has the bloopers and the viral video and a lot of funny stuff. But there's one thing there that only takes 20-25 minutes that I hope your listeners will watch. It's called Living Forever Strong, and it takes the message of the movie Forever Strong, and it's me just talking on camera about how to apply the lessons of life from the movie into our own families and into our own personal lives. It really is worth watching. That's called Living Forever Strong at the end of the movie on the DVD. But, you know, if people were to Google just the movie Forever Strong, you can find the video stores that carry it. As I know, Walmart, Best Buy, Amazon, they all carry the DVD Forever Strong.
Well, there you have it, listeners. And Larry, I do want to just congratulate you on the movie did win a Truly Moving Picture Award. It's really, the message is fantastic. That extra clip on the DVD is wonderful. It just leaves you with a different thought, which gives you a different attitude toward life. You really want to be a champion in your own life. And that message has really been shown in the movie and through this interview with that you've given us today. So we want to thank you. Is there one last thing you'd like to leave our listeners with before we go?
You know, I would just say this. It's something I say to my players every day. Always do your best. Always be your best. It's not what happens to you. You know, you're going to face stupid people, discrimination, and unfortunate things. Bad things happen to good people. But it's how we react to it. And every day I tell the boys, be your best, do your best, have no regrets. Could I just leave this thought? The thing that I tell the boys all the time is that there's only two types of pain in life. There's the pain of hard work and the pain of regret. The pain of hard work is tough. It stretches us. It's rough. It, you know, it just puts us through the ringer. But at the end of the day, we're grateful for it because we're a better person. It's the pain of hard work. But contrast the pain of hard work with the pain of regret, be it in a relationship, in a family, in a job, in life, whatever it is. If those situations go unresolved, the pain of regret sometimes never goes away. And so really, what's it going to be, the pain of hard work or the pain of regret? It's a choice we make every day.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, because, you know, we have choices. And, you know, when you realize that you have choices, you come into situations in a different way. And you're able to make that healthy choice, the right choice, and you keep doing the next right thing. And I really thank you very much for your message to everybody.
Well, thank you. And may I just add, you know, as a result of this movie, I'm doing a lot of corporate speaking, conventions, and this message resonates with people. People want to be their best and do their best, and it's a choice that we have to make every day.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on our show this morning, Larry. We do hope that maybe sometime in the future you'll come back with us, because you have great messages, and I know our listeners are probably taking notes at this point, and they're going to incorporate it into their lifestyle. So thank you very much for being on the Good News Show today.
Thank you, and when you're in Miami, look us up.
I'll do that, and thank you so very much.
Okay, thank
you're
you,
welcome.
And you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. What an amazing person, and I really just, you know, when I hear a story like that, Sherry, it gives me goosebumps, because there are so many people out there that have, they have the tools to live a great life, to be in the moment, to live and enjoy every day, which it has a rippling effect. You have a better health, you have better friends, it just really, when you create your life so that you can share with people joy and happiness, that's such an accomplishment. So that was really great. What I'd like to do at this point is just open the lines for our listeners. If you want to call in and make a comment about the interview or have anything you'd like to share about the Good News Show, you can always call us at 347-324-5983. That's area code 347-324-5983. And if you don't have access to a telephone, you can always send an email, and we'll read the email live. You can send the email to goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. That's goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. This is Patty Black bringing the Good News Show to you live from Miami, Florida. And I am on air with Sherry. Sherry, why don't we talk about the Living Large series that we have had and do a little recap on it, because the audio is about to be released, and I just want to remind our listeners that this is going to be available, and it really has a great message.
I'd be happy to do that. I do want to just add one more thing about Larry, that I wish that there were more people out there like Larry in the field of education and teaching people and our students that, you know, to take the compassion and to keep doing the next right thing in school and in their life as there our young people are growing up to be better people out in the workforce. One of our things about our living your life large and getting excited about it, I'm excited about it because we are putting this on CD, and we've had a lot of people that have requested it, and now it's about ready to happen. So you will be able to get this very soon, and we will let you know about it. In our first week, you know, we talked about living our purpose in life, and I said, you know, strong lives are motivated by dynamic purpose. You know, what makes you happy? What are your strong points? And what do you love to do? And what excites you? What gets you up in the mornings? We want to be able to get up in the morning and have joy in our life. And, you know, our minds sometimes tell us that we're not good enough and keeps us from jumping in and taking risks. Well, that is not the way it is, people. We have to get up and jump in and take the risks that are out there. Purpose, finding out what our purpose is. You know, getting our purpose can ignite our spirit. And it would, you know, give us meaning to our life when we find out what our purpose is. It gives meaning to our life. Purpose is the why. It's the why we are here. And what is our special calling? It gives us the drive to continue no matter what the challenges are.
Mm-hmm. And in finding purpose, a lot of people have a difficult time finding their purpose or their purposes, because now in today's world. You do more than one thing. You wear more than one hat. We have a lot of choices and great decisions we can make to just create our character and our lives. But finding our purpose is difficult to some people. How do you suggest that somebody find their purpose, Sherry?
Well, you know, it takes a lot of soul searching when you're finding your purpose. It's, you know, I believe that there's a lot of visualizations. I talked about, you know, having visualizations 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night. Visualizing is creating the movie screen of your life. You know, who do you want to be in our movie? You know, and see it already happening. Visualization is more than meditation. It is a way of mapping out the changes and upgrading what you want to make. You know, we have to be able to sit and contemplate, you know, write down what makes us happy. What are the things that we like to do? What are our strong points? What are the gifts that we have been given? Everybody has special gifts. And if you get in touch with what those gifts are, you can go out and, you know, it's not about being happy at what you do, finding that place that whatever it is that it makes you feel good about what you're doing. And we all have those things. Some people are good with people, and they're people persons, and there are certain people that are very artsy and creative in music and computer, and everybody has a special gift. And it's really, you know, tapping into that is about sitting with yourself, writing down, taking deep breaths, and getting in touch with that inner spirit and finding what it is that your special gifts are. You know, it takes apart the old images and replaces them with new images. When we visualize, we can change negative visualization into positive visualizations by recreating. If you don't like what's happening in your life, reframe it, recreate it, and make that movie the way you want it to be, because once you put that out into the universe, that's what comes back to you. What goes around comes around. What you put out is what you get back. You know, and then we talked about, you know, what we're passionate about in our life. And what do you know what you're passionate about?
Okay, so this is the second step in the Living Large series?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And we have to find something that we love enough to be able to take risks. So first you have to determine what you love. And this is an action step. You know, we have to identify what our likes and our dislikes are, and what are our challenges and what are our strengths. And I suggest to write it down in a piece of paper. Writing is a great tool. I believe that, you know, journaling and writing is something really great, because it gets you in touch with what are your challenges and what are your strengths. And when you're able to journal, you're able to put it out on paper, get it out of your mind and put it down on paper. It's a really great tool. We've talked about it many times. And then on week 3, we talked about, you know, our inner strength and being aligned with your purpose. And true happiness does not come from the outside. And neither does strength. Developing your inner strength, it takes time and it takes patience. And because it takes time and patience to discover who we really are, when we're aligned with who we are, we stand in our truth.
This is a very big step in the series, because it does reflect on the fact that happiness is not gained from external things, physical things. It really starts from within, and it's all a part of finding your inner strength, finding out who you are so that you can come from within and sprout like a flower.
Right. You know, we want to be able to, you know, when you're finding your inner strength, this is something that, you know, I've worked with myself for a long time, and it takes time. It takes time to become the person that you know you want to be, and developing your inner strength takes a lot of time and patience, you know, because it takes patience to discover who you really are. And then we have that inner knowing of what comes from our heart and soul. And, you know, I believe that once we are able to get in touch, and to one of the big things that we talk about is gratitude. And I do want to touch a little bit on that, because gratitude, my God, gratitude and the power of gratitude, you know, it's all that we need to hear. Like, good news, it helps us through the difficulties of everyday life, and it gives us confidence to face the future. Gratitude unlocks the fulfillment of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. You know, it turns denial into acceptance, and it turns chaos into order. It turns confusion into clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast. You know, it turns a house into a home. And, you know, it turns a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past. It brings peace for today, and it creates a vision for tomorrow. I always talk about, you know, being grateful, getting up in the morning and being able to get to be grateful for all the little things that you have. Write it down, people. Write down what you're grateful for. Write a list of 10 things that you're grateful for. This is what brings the joy into your life. Being able to be grateful and, you know, be able to take time to look around. What is it that's out there? What am I grateful for? You know, if we concentrate on finding what's good in our life in every situation, we'll realize that our life is filled with gratitude. And that feeling fulfills our soul. I mean, there are, you know, it brings calmness into living a grateful life.
Well, that gratitude list in the morning is very helpful, because when you wake up and you just don't feel right, or you just have, you know, you just are not really happy to step into your shoes and start your day, if you stop for a moment, just take 10 seconds and write that gratitude list. Come up with 5 or 10 things that you're grateful for, it changes the channel for you.
Speaking of changing the channel, okay, people, listen to this. If you're in that channel of worry, all you have to do is change that channel. We don't want to stay in a worry spot. We want to be able to move on and change the channel. If you're in that channel of fear, change the channel. There are so many things, and it really is as simple as that, and we've talked about that many, many times on the show. And I have people that call me all the time, and they say, you know what, when you talked about changing the channel, I was like so depressed, I was so worried, I was in such a bad place that I really didn't know what to do with myself, and you talked about changing the channel. So thank you for letting us talk about that. And I think we have some callers.
We have a couple of callers calling in on this topic, Sherry, so let's see if we can bring a caller in now. Good morning. Welcome to the Canoe Show.
Good morning. Are you here with us?
Hi there. Can you
Hello?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Hi,
I can
yes.
Speak up very loud.
Hi
and,
there.
Who do we have on there with us?
This is Rachel Richardson. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Rachel.
Well, I'm loving your show. I'm loving what you guys are saying about gratitude. And I guess I just wanted to impart something and see what your thoughts were in reference to that. Just kind of looking at, you were saying how you can turn a meal into a feast and you can turn chaos into clarity. And I thought that I've definitely seen that apply to my life. But in addition to that, I've seen that not only can you take a situation that doesn't seem so great and turn it into perfect harmony and beauty, but as you begin to express gratitude and feel gratitude, then it actually makes all those good things in your life grow and grow and grow and grow to a point that gratitude doesn't even, you don't even have to fake it. It's almost like fake it till you make it.
Right.
So I just wanted to bring that up because I was just resonating with what you were saying about that. And thank you for sharing.
Oh, I love that. I love what you said. Thank you for calling in.
Rachel, thank you for calling in. We really like that input that you've given to us. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you guys for this awesome show. I'm loving it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. We have another caller. Let's see if we can pull them in.
Hello?
Good morning. Welcome to the Good News Show.
Hello?
Looks like we have a call from California. Are you on air with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Speak up very loud.
Okay, I'm
yes, who do we have on air today?
This is Nancy. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm having a problem here in this mountain. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys, I listen to your show since day one, and I think that the thing that motivates me to get up in the morning is this show. It's totally wonderful. I love it. I'm so inspired today. I mean, everything you've said, everything you've done, I think the show is great. And I thank you very much for having it.
Oh, thank you for calling in. We really appreciate your input.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Nancy from California. Okay. I love when listeners call in because it really just shows that we do make a difference with the Good News Show. This is Patty Black speaking to you live from Miami, Florida. If you'd like to call, you can reach us at area code 347-324-5983. And if you don't have access to a phone, you can send us an email. We'll read it live on air. You can send it to goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. That's GOODNEWSSHOW.
Can you hear me? Hello.
We just had a couple minutes of difficulty. We need for Sherry to call back in again. And while we're waiting for her to call in, let me see if I can bring this new caller in. Hello, welcome to the Good News Show. Who do we have on air?
Hi, my name is Ivan in Miami. How are you?
Hi, Ivan. I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for calling the show. Sherry, are you on with us?
I am here.
There you are. We just had a little difficulty there.
That's...
Ivan.
Yes.
Thank you for calling. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, sure do. I was really interested in the conversation about gratitude, and I wanted to see if you and Sherry could share a few gratitude practices that you have that I could work on.
Yes.
Wow.
That's great. As I was saying, you know, I believe that when you wake up in the morning and if all you do is say thank you, then that is even enough. And you're constantly being in that attitude of gratitude, because when you're in that place, there's no room for resentment, there's no room for fear, because you're in that other place of being in a grateful place. And I thank you for calling in about that.
Right. One thing that we find is helpful, Ivan, is to make a list. If you're going through your day and something happens where you find yourself in anger or you're just disappointed with something, just stop for a moment, take a 5 to 10 seconds with yourself and try to find something you're grateful for. Maybe if you have a piece of paper, just write down a couple of things such as somebody that loves you or somebody you love and that person being in your life or some aspect of what you do every day.
You know, we ask ourselves, what does gratitude mean? Well, gratitude, living in a state of gratitude, is probably the greatest gift that we can receive. You know, whatever happens in our life, there is gratitude. It can become the core of all our experiences, all of our decisions, and all of our actions. If they're filled with gratitude, it's good to, you know, as we were saying, write down at least 10 things. And, you know, if more people knew how strong the effects of gratitude were and had on our lives, they would develop an attitude of gratitude because it just makes us feel good. It is that place of, you know, sometimes it's you have to fake it till you make it, as Rachel had just said a little while ago, and that is so true. So thank you very much for calling.
Thank you for calling in, Ivan. We hope that you can take that with you and share that with people that you know too.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, we've had great questions today, Sherry. We have about 3 minutes left in the show. If you'd like to finish with the Living Large series before
well,
we sign off.
Well, you know, I just wanted to say a few things about, you know, finding your core supporters. You know, there are so many people in our life who support us, and we want to have those people around. The people that support us to be the best that we can be. You usually don't get it from just one person. Sometimes, you know, you have friends that support us emotionally, and then there are some friends that are good listeners, and, you know, they may not always tell us what to do, but they're always willing to give us good suggestions. So I find it really important to find the people in our life that support us. We want to have a support team, you know, because that makes us go out and to be the best that we can be and to make the choices and have somebody that you can run things by. So I just wanted to say that, Patty.
Well, Sherry, you always have so much information, which is always just fabulous, and I just wanted to know, have we recapped on the Living Large series? We have 2 minutes left.
You know what? We have been recapping on it, and there's a little bit more to go with it. So, you know, we're just running out of time right now. But,
six.
You know, week six is looking for the creative solutions.
Okay.
And
week seven
was on being centered no matter what.
And then week eight was the end of the series,
The tools in living a great life and waking up early and finding that part of us every day that is the part that wants to get up, wants to have joy in our life. Find the joy. Put joy all over your house if you need to, so that when you wake up, it's the first thing that you see. So that's it for now.
Thank you very much, Sherry. There you have it. That's a recap on the Living Large series. This is Patty Black, airing the Good News Show directly to you live from Miami, Florida. You've been on air with Patty and Sherry. And I just want to say thank you, loyal listeners. Stay tuned next Monday morning, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll have another special guest. We're signing off now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. And thank you so much for calling in and giving us a 5-star rating. We're really happy to be able to be there to help you. And we're very, very grateful for all the calls that we've gotten today. And I really appreciate being able to bring the Good News Show to you. Thank you, everybody, for your support.
Bye-bye. We hope you've enjoyed the show.
Bye-bye.
We've enjoyed bringing it to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.